10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to a Trending Topics Network presentation of Toons Game Time for August 8th, which is a Saturday, 2015. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, not only do I have the, you could say, most star-studded lineup that we've ever had on Toons Game Time, but we've also got a bunch of news, news stories, news commentary. We've got a list of games that are coming out in the next week. We've got all that fun stuff, but before we get into that, allow me to introduce not only myself, but also my co-hosts and the contact information that you will need to get a hold of this show, because if you want to be a co-host, all you have to do is go to Toon Show, everything Toon Show that you could possibly imagine, whether it's Skype, whether it's Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, just let me know that you want to be on the show. And if you get confused by that, just do the whole Toon Show thing as a .com, and then follow the Be a Loony, I can't even talk, Loony tab, Be a Loony tab has all that contact information that you could possibly need. But before I get too far into that, allow me to introduce my guests for this evening. We've got both the famous and the infamous joining us this week. We'll start out with the famous, and that would be one Mr. Adam Pearson. How you doing, my man? It's been a while.
It has been. It's good to be back. So glad I'm the famous. I was worried for a second.
Well, I can honestly say that you're probably the only person that we've had on the show that has partied with Scarlett Johansson. So,
at least legally. I think I had Riz on a couple of times.
So that alone makes me want to remain in your vicinity for as long as humanly possible. but either way, we'll talk about your Nintendo story because, frankly, game time here is actually a little bit younger than the last time that we actually had you on and discussed your Nintendo story. So I want the game time listeners to actually hear this. But the infamous half joining us here this evening, also from the UK, which is why we're doing this at 5 p.m. on a Saturday, so that he doesn't miss out on any sleep like usual. It's one more.
Yay!
What's going on? Woo-hoo!
It's not 3 a.m.
I know.
So I can
you get to bed at a reasonable hour.
I can drink beer and talk to you rather than drink beer, sleep, get up, feel terrible. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I was trying to think of names to, like, call you guys, because it's sort of a British invasion, but at the same time, you guys aren't, like, the Beatles, because you're only two. Maybe the Clash, but even the Clash, I think, was three, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
we're like a Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, so...
Thanks, Adam.
We have to come up with, like, just your own little band name, The Spice Boys.
I quite like Famous and Infamous. I think that's got a good ring to it.
Yeah. There we go. That I think that'll work. Either way, I'm excited to have both of you on. Now, one of the things we typically do is we typically talk about the games that we've been playing over the past week. But since you're actually new to the Game Time show, Adam, I'd like you to tell everybody a little bit about you. The types of games you play and all that other fun stuff. Any biographical information that you would like to share so that they want to get to know you better.
So I'm a diehard Sony boy. I've had all the Sony consoles and have dabbled with Nintendo. I owned an original Xbox that I'd modded to play Nintendo games. Never once put an actual Xbox game in the thing. I'm a big, big RPG guy. Like, I'm the biggest Final Fantasy mark on Earth. I watched E3 live, and when they announced the Final Fantasy remake, tears of joy, my friend. Like, literal tears of joy. And I woke the dog up and told her, and she looked at me and said, you know, oh, you're excited, that's great, but I don't understand English. And yeah, it was like, it was like the best E3 ever. At the moment, I'm like cracking on with Tales of Xalia 2, because we got another Tales game coming out soon. And yeah, love my RPGs.
Awesome, awesome. And I kind of teased it, because you do have one of the funniest Nintendo stories that I've ever heard. Not necessarily Nintendo stories, but one of the funniest stories, period.
Yeah.
So, but that's centered around your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah. So,
I still laugh every time.
Yeah. I think your wife finds it quite funny as well. When I was like 8, I had a Nintendo, like an original NES Entertainment System. And me and my mom had a bit of a set too. I don't even know what it was about. And she said to me, if you don't stop fucking about, I'm going to take that away. And I went, go on then, because I'm smart. And yeah, she took it away. And I got it back literally last year. Like, literally 2014. She found it in the loft and went, oh, I found this. So I'm like, yeah, fucking right you did. Yeah.
It's just so funny, because I probably would have bugged my parents until they gave it back to me. And it's like, it's one of those things where, like, you literally waited for, like, a decade and a half, 2 decades between having it taken away and having it returned.
Well, she's forgotten where she put it, and so just bought me a new one next Christmas. And then we found the old one.
It's just so classic. I love that story.
I set it up, played DuckTales once, and then forgot all, and then life moved on.
Have you ever had it taken away? And what was the longest you've had yours taken away, Mart? Because I never really had them taken away, because once I was warned, I pretty much knew better than to push my luck.
I never pushed my luck. Mainly because I was too good to have something taken away, as hard as that is to believe.
I was saying, well, we know you.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's just nuts. And I think that's the perfect punishment. Like, we take my sons away all the time. But because I play them, he doesn't have to worry about them getting, like, put into the attic and forgotten about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he gets really upset when we do take them. But, like we tell him, you can be upset all you want, because you've already upset us if you've gotten to that point. So, whatever, dude.
Yeah. That's when I knew I'd messed up, when I came home and the pads were gone. I'd be like, oh, no, probably shouldn't have done that. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, as I said, we do like to talk about the games that we've been playing this week, or recently, if that is such the case. And Adam, what have you been playing recently? Have you had time, or are they keeping you too busy with work?
No, I've been able to carve out time. I always carve out time, good sir. So, as I said earlier, Tales of Xalia 2 is very, very good. Arkham Knight is almost perfect. It's so good. And also on the Vita, I've been playing Rogue Legacy and Guacamelee.
Okay.
And they're both good. And I'm downloading now, I'm probably going to play a lot of it tomorrow, Rocket League.
Nice.
It's a must.
Nice. And how about you, Mart? Because I know that I've seen you on from time to time.
I've been very busy this week. The normal Project Cars, Rocket League, the Lego Jurassic Park, The Journey, what was free this week? Lara Croft, Temple of Osiris, and Lego Jurassic World with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Bit.
Nice.
Lots.
You got like a full slate.
Yeah, very, very busy weekend.
Yeah, I've pretty much been limited to 3 different games as I've had time. I thought actually this week was going to clear up some of the time for me. It ended up not the case. But I've been down in the basement in my gaming area playing Fallout New Vegas on the 360. Continuing that, I basically started over from scratch. And the funny thing when you start a game from scratch is that you oftentimes just forget that you've done it. And then you go in and you're like, oh, I can take out this guy. And then you get completely wiped out because you're like, you're on level 3. Which I had that experience when I faced off against a bighorner. At a level 3 with a pistol. When you're level like 19, and you've got all your gun points racked way up, and you can pretty much take out a Bighorner with a pistol, no problem. Yeah, not such if you're level 3 and most of your stuff is still in, like, science and lockpicking at that point. So that didn't, you know, that didn't end up well for me. I've also been playing on my original Xbox, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I picked that up for my son. He started playing it. He kind of got bored with it because he's not used to that style of play. So I picked it up and started playing it for a couple hours. Love that game. Love the second one as well. And then today I actually started playing Lara Croft in the Temple of Osiris, which is one of the PlayStation Plus free downloads for the PS4 this month. Pretty fun game. Pretty fun game. I'm actually liking it. It's kind of a cross between Lara Croft and it has kind of an X-Men Legends feel to it.
Yeah.
And the three-quarter overhead thing, I mean, yeah, you're only one person, but a lot of the puzzle action that you come to expect when you play a Tomb Raider game. And frankly, I love that because you just have to think and you have to coordinate yourself. Controls are a little weird, though. I don't know if you ever run into that thing where you go into a style of control that you used to play, but you've gotten away from, and then you go back into it, and it doesn't always come back quickly to you.
Yeah, it's not natural.
Yeah, and that's what I'm dealing with now. Have you spent a lot of time with this game yet, either of you?
I think I've done about 4 temples so far.
I haven't played it yet. I've got it. It's downloaded, but I haven't sat down and kind of carved out the 2-3 hours I'm going to need to kind of make an informed decision as to whether I think I should keep playing it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a little different, I think, is all it is. But I like it. I mean, it looks good. Kind of fun. My daughter was sitting beside me when I started it, and she's, like, obsessed with all the mythology and gods and stuff like that, thanks to, like, Percy Jackson and the Red Pyramid series that she's read, like, every book of. So that was kind of cool, because she was sitting there talking and explaining who the different people were, even though I already know that because I went to college and I went through Mythlit. So... I'm like, yes, I know. And she just kept talking. I'm like, I know, Jonna. Please shut up!
How about God of War? She'll lose her mind.
Yeah, so it was fun. I like that type of game. It's a nice break from being too involved in them, I guess. Or it just forces you to think differently. But either way, that's what I've been playing, and I wouldn't suppose you guys are ready to do the news or anything.
Well, just before we go into the news, there's one thing I forgot, and it's probably because I've wiped it from my memory already. I picked up Destiny last weekend for about $25.
And I thought, oh, nice.
So I thought, oh, I'll give that a go.
And I actually always want to bring up Destiny because Bungie pisses me off with Destiny. Because they go out, and it was $60, right, originally?
Yeah.
And they basically produced a game that was okay to play. And then when they released the downloadable content just a couple weeks ago, they were like, well, this is the game we originally wanted to have.
Yeah.
Oh. So why are you charging everybody $40 if this is the actual game you wanted to produce and you already charged you $60? I don't get that. That pisses me off.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. I've played 4 levels, right? And the levels are run over to somewhere, shoot a couple of aliens, get some info off a computer, get stuck in a room and shoot a boss, and they last about 5 to 10 minutes, and that's the first 4 levels, and I've already lost interest.
Okay,
I'm going to take it back.
That's what I do on a Wednesday. Like,
I haven't gotten it, because that's all I've heard, is that the original Destiny, like the first version, no DLC or anything, just sucks.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't want that. That's like I probably won't get Arkham Knight at all. Why would I want to? But
Arkham Knight's amazing. That's why you want to.
I still love the main story in that game. There's just too much Batmobile.
Yeah.
Too much Batmobile. For me, personally. But there we go.
And I think that's the part that actually ruined it for me, because I'm not that big of a Batman fan to begin with. And then when I hear something like the Batmobile is just too much, and I don't even like the idea of doing the Batmobile, which I'm actually going to talk about in one of our stories here in a bit anyway. But either way, let's get into the news, and then we'll get to that, because I kind of have a related topic that I want us to talk about involving the Batmobile and Arkham Knights and all that other fun stuff anyway. So let's just start with the first news item of the day. The next weave. Next weave. What the hell? I'm not doing like a salon show or anything. The next wave of Amiibo are announced by Nintendo. And it'll feature 9 different characters, guys, throughout the month of September. Starting September 11th in North America, for the Super Smash Brothers, you've got Bowser Jr. with a Koopa Clown Car, Dr. Mario, Ganondorf, Olimar, and Zero Suit Samus, which, kind of, hi, Samus, how you doing? And also on September 11th for Super Mario Maker, you've got an 8-bit Mario, which I totally want to get. And then the 25th of September, they'll introduce a Retro 3-pack, including Rob, the robotic friend for the original NES, Duck Hunt, and Mr. Game & Watch. Are you guys interested in any of these Amiibo that are coming out, even if you don't have a Wii U, but simply for the collectible aspect?
Yeah, the 8-bit Mario. I'm probably going to get a Wii U just for Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I know. It's not even out yet, and I've been watching it, and I've never been so obsessed about something that isn't out yet since the Final Fantasy Remake trailer. Like, it just looks so much fun.
It looks way awesome. I would totally want to keep that, like, on my shelf here down in the basement beside my systems. And it just looks everything that you would want it to look like. They did such a good job on that. And how about you? I'd also want the robot. Rob the robot. But how about you, Mark? Do you picture yourself picking up any of these as collectibles for, like, your son or anything?
Is that have you started that on purpose? Parrot, you talk about these things. No.
No. Flat out no.
It's not happening. He's on a collectible game ban now until Lego Dimensions, and that is it. I'm not doing it anymore. But I am going to buy myself an 8-bit Mario.
They're really getting to the point now where they're going to start having stupid ones. I mean, yeah, the Super Mario Maker one with the 8-bit styled Mario is flat out awesome. Samus, you know that she was going to get the Zero Suit one at some point. But beyond that, I mean, wow, Bowser Jr.? Oh, Olimar?
He's an integral part of Yoshi's Island. Like, why are we hitting on Bowser Jr.? And I think you should get these, Mark, because the only reason I want you to start getting them is your Skylander rants were amazing. And I want to hear the exact same thing about Amiibos. I want to hear about that Amiibo birthday cake that you had to get at very short notice and that no one ate.
It says something about society, because you look at the things that are popular. You get these figures, which obviously were because Skylanders was so big. And then just the Infinity had to come out with their own. But even things like the, what do they call them, Funko Pops. It's like, people just like little trinkety stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Which is hilarious.
I've got 2 Funko Pops, because here's a big, big secret. I play Magic the Gathering to a ridiculous level. So that's my collector thing. Yeah, I paid, I think, £120 for 4 cards, like, last year. I get the whole collecting thing, and I think Funko Pops are just brilliant. You can get plushy ones now as well. I got a plushy Batman.
Yeah, there have been very few that I've actually liked when I've seen them. I'm trying to think of even, like, the very few that I've seen. I think I've seen the Vision, one that was the Vision.
Yeah.
I think you I saw that at Barnes and Nobles.
You must
And then there was one other one. I can't remember what it was, though.
You must have liked the Turtles ones.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't get the whole thing. Like, I understand some of them. Like, I would honestly, I am thinking about getting the Super Mario Brothers one, simply because it's 8-bit and I just love it. I just love the look of it. I kind of want to touch it. Does that sound wrong? I want to touch it.
Depends how old Mario was back then.
Because I can't tell if it's made of a bunch of squares and a 3D pattern.
What was he, about 10?
Just looking at the picture, or if it's just like a flat kind of thing that's just painted that way.
I hope it's 3D.
Yeah, if I see it, then I probably will have a hard time turning away from it, simply because I'm kind of like that sometimes. I'm an impulsive buyer every now and again. But either way, let's move on to the next story, shall we? The Dota 2 Championships are underway. I actually had planned on having the results for you for this episode. However, it is still taking place. So what we'll do instead is we'll just talk about how much money is going through here. Because if you actually look, as of 2:30, which was 3 hours ago, the prize money was a total of $18,374,831, which is flat out insane. It's bigger than any one sporting event here in the United States, and sporting events have a lot of prize money in the States because, quite frankly, we're fucking retarded here in this country. Now, just looking at the prize pool, which has a first place prize of over $6.5 million, and a 16th place prize, actually 13th through 16th, they're all $55,000. Does that not make you like regret not being better at gaming?
No, not at all.
even a little bit.
I just want to take that to my parents and be like, see? I knew it. You never let me play games that often. And I could have been a millionaire. Yeah. And just throw that right in their face. It's insane how much money
I'm not telling my son how much you could win from gaming.
Yeah. I'm telling you. What is it? Over $6.5 million for first place. $2.8 million for second place. $2.2 million for third. I would gladly be called the first loser and take the second place prize home. That's a lot of tissues to wipe my tears with.
Yeah, and then you've got to go home and look your kind of family in the eyes and say, oh, how do you make good money? Oh, I play kids' games.
It's like, oh, holy shit. But, I mean, you should really expect this kind of thing, I suppose. There's a lot of money in pretty much anything nowadays. And this is an international competition. Really, all the funds were actually gotten from not only some sponsors, but also through a sale that the Dota 2 organization actually runs, to where I believe 25% of the items that they sell go into the prize pool. So when you consider $18 million worth of prizes, that's a ton of money they're making on merchandise and all that other fun stuff. It's a good industry to be in, I suppose. But the big news actually came a couple weeks ago, and we didn't talk about it really back then, and I should have, because, you know, it's important. But drug testing is coming to esports. According to the New York Times, they say flouting rules for performance-enhancing drugs has felled some of the biggest names in sports. Now that list could include competitive video game players like Mr. Friesen. Corey Friesen is who they were actually referring to. After he boasted that he and his teammates, as well as other professional gamers, took prescription drugs to help them focus in competition. Now, when you first see the headline for this article, you're like, this is ridiculous. But when you couple it with the amount of prize money that's going on, and the fact that really there are drugs that would help a video gamer be better at what they do, does the combination of these stories actually convince any of you that esports is actually a completely and utterly legitimized sport?
This is ridiculous. This is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, that, autism makes you better at Sudoku. Doesn't mean you're going to get disqualified from Sudoku. Sometimes I just look at the world around me, boys, and I shake my fist at the sky, and this is one of those times.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you know as soon as money starts rolling in, people are going to cheat. Mart, who had to step away for just a second here, he actually had sent me an article a while back, too, that said that there was already a gambling ring and game fixing that has been exposed in some of these competitions.
Yeah, it's the same with Magic the Gathering. Like, one guy cheated and got banned for 4 years. One guy got convicted of rape and has been banned for, I think, 48 years, essentially, of life. And, yeah, once you start adding things like prize money and status, then people will start to play outside the rules, whatever they are. And I think performance-enhancing drug, to the extent of computer gaming, could be anything, because caffeine could fall into that kind of parameter.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth, too. And that's where my question is, where do they stop? What drugs are they testing for? You know they're going to be testing for Adderall, which helps focus. But my thing would be, are they going to test for marijuana?
I was about to say.
Things like that?
I was about to say, a lot of good Call of Duty players I know are stoners. And so if they start testing for that, that's the very lifeblood of the industry. Go on.
Yeah, it's just insane because, I mean, you just know it's going to happen, and one of the things is, I don't know if it legitimizes the sport, redefines it as a sport, or what exactly you're going to, where it's going to go from here. I mean, in all reality.
It makes us look more ridiculous. This is not helping the image of computer gaming at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, I'm looking at some of the details that they're posting in this article, and one of the things they talk about are energy drinks, which I could totally understand that. But then you ought to say, well, I don't know what the rules are for, like, going to the bathroom in the middle of one of these competitions.
Yeah,
but if you drink enough energy drinks, you're going to have to go at some
and
point.
And what if you've got a medical, what if you're using medicinal marijuana? Or what if you, this is just terrible PR. It's awful. Hulk Hogan has better PR right now than gaming.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, and I'm sure that they're gonna hammer out all the details, before next season, because that's when it's actually expected to go into effect, is a 2016 season.
Wait, there are seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got seasons. I don't know if the seasons run calendar years or what. But it's definitely going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on. As they really release the details, I'm going to keep kind of an eye on it, see what happens. But it will. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that, as well as the actual competitions in whether or not you end up with, like, gamer unions. Because every major sport pretty much has a union, whether it's an NFLPA, Major League Baseball Players Association, or whatever. Do things like the Premier League have a union, a player union?
I don't know. I'm not a big soccer guy. I know we've got, like, an association where everything goes through. So if there's, like, a racism allegation or a abuse allegation, it'll all go internally into the FA. Decide on the punishment and stuff. I don't think footballers need a union. They get paid vast sums of money to kick a balloon around a field for 90 minutes. They're doing okay.
Yeah, when Mark joins us, he should know. Having covered the EPL for the Eat My League, or Eat My Goal,
rather.
So, yeah, I know, Eat My League, whatever that is. Anyway, we'll just move on to the next story for right now. And that would involve Star Wars.
Yes.
Adam, I don't know how much of a fan you are of Star Wars, but I know I am.
So excited for Episode 7. Like,
oh, you know,
seminal work, 1, 2, and 3 never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3, they were kind of necessary for the story, I thought, but just the way they handled them, you're kind of like, I don't know. And maybe it was an expectation thing. Episode 7, yeah. My expectations thought through the roof as soon as George Lucas's name was removed from them.
Also, I think that Guardians of the Galaxy was a massive test for what they want to do with Star Wars. And if that is what they want to do with Star Wars, I'm all in. All in, all day long.
Absolutely. And in 1 month and 1 day ahead of the release of Star Wars Episode 7, we will see Star Wars Battlefront come to the forefront. And one of the news that came out, or one of the news items that came out at Gamescom, which is held in Germany this week, was that a dogfighting mode would be added. A fighter squadron mode will feature ship-to-ship combat for the first time in the Battlefront franchise. It will feature A-Wings, X-Wings, TIE Fighters, and Interceptors. Do you know what TIE means in TIE Fighters?
I don't. I just like saying it.
I'll educate you. It's Twin Ion Engine.
No.
See, I know all the fun stuff. But it will also include the Millennium Falcon and Slave One, which is Boba Fett's ship, if you don't know that as well.
I know. I love Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett's awesome. And my son was like, hey, it's Jango Fett's ship. And I'm like, wrong, it's Boba Fett's ship. But we're both pretty excited for this this development. It'll support up to 20 players, including AI-controlled ships. The question I'm going to ask you, and Mart, if he comes back. Are you back with us, Mart?
That's a resounding no.
I saw the name pop up. There we go. With the new Star Wars dogfighting mode, how do you think that adding this mode is going to affect the overall game? Does it actually increase the value of the game? Does it decrease the value of the game? Because, honestly, I'm kind of worried about it because you've got a different physics engine that's got to go into it to make this happen.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure about that.
It sounds like it's going to be very multiplayer focused. I don't see it impacting the main story campaign elements in any way. But I think it's going to add a lot to it. I think a lot of people are going to be on this. People will play it for a while as well. It won't be like the kind of Tomb Raider or Last of Us multiplayer. You play it for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and then forget about it. I think it's going to be used and talked about for quite a while.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Mark, what are your thoughts?
He hasn't.
No? Okay, he was there and then he's gone. But yeah, I'm kind of looking at it and I'm wary of it because it looks fantastic. Like I said, the regular Battlefront mode looks fantastic, sounds fantastic. Everything about it is fantastic. But adding that in there, I wonder if they didn't sacrifice something like the single player mode just to put this in there. You've got two different game engines, basically. They're going to have to run this game when you look at the physics involved. Unless I'm wrong on that, I don't know if they found a way to combine the engines or created a new engine to actually make this game work. But it just kind of makes me wary that they're trying to pack too many different, completely different modes into it. Because as a former guest host, Ryan Hamner, actually said, we need to have like a flat-out awesome story mode and campaign. And that's one of the things that's really not going to be in there because we see a bunch of co-op, we see a bunch of multiplayer online, no major single player campaign though. And the other thing that concerns me about it is it seems like every ship, they might handle a little bit differently, but they have the same targeting system, it looked like. And I kind of don't like that because if you'll recall, the Millennium Falcon actually has a couple of different targeting systems.
Yeah.
They got the quad pods, which, I don't know. I kind of love to see that, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the details because they didn't really show a lot in the gameplay trailer.
No. I'm going to say this. Like, it's going to have one hell of an install. The install base of that game is going to be, like, massive. This will probably take up 100 gig when you install it.
Yeah, and I believe Mida's back, am I right? He just said, his little...
I'm back.
Woo-hoo. There you go. Now, did you have a bad dream, or did your kid have a bad dream?
He had a bad dream.
Okay, I understand that. What you do then is you put in Resident Evil for him, and you let him go to town.
Exactly. I just put Alien on.
Here.
There you go. What's that? Go back to sleep.
Well, we were just talking about Star Wars and the new Fighter Squadron mode.
I got back at the right time then. Very excited.
And what are your overall thoughts on it? I mean, I think we both agree that it looks just fantastic.
Yeah. It does look amazing. And that whole having the air battle thing is just going to be awesome. I can't wait to get that, especially over Hoth.
Yeah, and I wonder how big their day one patch is going to be. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, given my internet. Well, go on.
Off the planet. It's right?
Gonna, yeah, it'll be something. It'll be something huge, and it'll be so big, you'll turn on the thing, put the disc in, and it'll say 12 parsecs until the download is complete.
Yeah.
But... Either way, I mean, it's gonna. I think this game is gonna sell a lot. It's just a matter of did they try to do too much and cut the wrong things out of the game in order to make too much happen? Is really my main concern. And being a Star Wars fan and having a son who is probably more of a Star Wars fan, if possible, than I am. It's gonna end up in my house. I'll right before Fallout 4 is. But, either way. Actually, the Fallout 4 comes before Battlefront, but my birthday is in December early, so my wife has already told me that if I want it, I have to get it for my birthday, so that means I have to wait a couple weeks for Fallout 4, which sucks. But before we move on to the next story, which does center around Fallout 4, Mart, EPL, English Premier League. Do they have a union? A players' union?
There is a players' union of sorts. Not as powerful as the ones in the States.
Yeah. Because while you were taking care of your son there, we had done the story about esports and the drug testing, and so I had brought up, I didn't know if they were going to have a gamers union or how that was going to work. So that's why I had to ask. Because I was like, I don't know if EPL has it or not. But either way, we'll move on to the next story so we don't rehash that one. And it does have to do with Fallout 4 because Fallout 4 will have absolutely no level caps. Thank goodness. One of the bad things about Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas was there was a level cap where you could go up to 20 levels, unless you got downloadable content, which could take you to level 30. Fallout 4, however, scraps that. There will be no level cap, and you can keep playing and leveling up after you finish the main story. This is a big development as far as I'm concerned. Because, as I said, New Vegas, which was developed by Obsidian, and Fallout 3, which was developed by Bethesda, who is doing Fallout 4, not only capped the levels, but essentially they killed you at the end of the story so that you couldn't keep playing. I'm pretty excited about this, because not only did they basically announce this past week and make it official that the game will feature over 40 hours of unique gameplay, which we actually had talked about on Monday here on the show. But also the fact that you're able to finish the main story and then go back and do all the side quests, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
What are you guys' thoughts on that? Do more games need to approach it this way, or do you kind of like it the other way, to where you finish the main quest and you're done, do the side quests as you wish?
Wish, man.
Yeah, same. Same. I like the option to go back and do them. But I think taking away the level caps is such a good idea. because then you can, people really want to grind it and get everything, and you get those kind of completionists who will want to do that. And I'm just so excited for Fallout 4. It has the best looking dog since Parappa the Rapper in that game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at it, because I'm like, 400 goddamn hours. I'm like, the only way you can have that much content is if you have the option where you could finish a story. And that's one of the main concerns, is because I think a lot of gamers today, myself included, and maybe it's just gamers who don't suck and love, Call of Duty, because Call of Duty is lame. But the majority of mature gamers, like ourselves, not judging by this show or anything, but mature, trust us, we like having a story, something we can dig our teeth into, something that has some sort of a purpose that keeps us in there, because doing the same thing over and over is for lamos who like No Man's Sky and the idea of it. I'm being really sarcastic right now. But at the same time, I don't want to have to play the game 400 hours just to finish everything and then find out what the main story was or how it plays out. And that's why I think this is such a great idea, because I think it's awesome to have that long of gameplay, because I'm shelling out a lot of money to play these games to begin with. Not only play them, but to be online with PS Plus or Xbox Live or whatever. And I want something that's going to feel like it's worth my time, but at the same time, I want to be able to do whatever it is that I need to do out and get out of that game, what I want to get out of it. And I just think this is a real service to the consumer, to the player. I don't know how far off I am on that, but the level cap alone, that makes me kind of happy. Although I know exactly what's going to happen, and we're going to have videos of people that are like a race to level 1,000 or 5,000.
Yeah, but then we'll have to drug test them.
And it's just so weird, like what people do. And you know somebody's going to do that.
Yeah, there'll be one. There'll be one, and then they'll be found dead 48 hours later in some Chinese internet cafe.
Yeah, or from autoerotic asphyxiation. That's another way to die.
And the corner of the screen, it says, like, level, and then the whole screen is just covered in numbers. That would be perfect. I go up there by killing mole rats. I'm like, yeah, right. But anyway, it's an interesting development, and better get used to Fallout stories, because if you're a listener, because honestly, I just like Fallout, and I'm probably going to have a lot of them up until the release of the game. But either way, let's move on to our final story for this afternoon. EA Sports is going to run into sort of an issue, I guess you could say, probably speaking, I guess. EA's NHL 16 co-cover boy is in major trouble with the law. I follow hockey, so I knew about this story pretty much as it happened, as soon as it happened. But police in nearby Hamburg, New York, nearby Buffalo, that is, confirmed that Patrick Kane, who is one of the NHL's most high-profile players, was under criminal investigation after facing allegations of rape or sexual assault, depending on what you want to actually consider it, because who knows anymore. I think the official thing is sexual assault. But either way, this comes at a very bad time, because mid-September, is typically when the NHL franchise is released here in the States and Canada and probably the rest of the world, although I don't know how much you play it over in Europe. But if you've got a cover boy who ends up in trouble, that's bad news. Continuing the story, the police have searched the Chicago Blackhawks star player's 6,000 square foot home, looking for evidence. He and teammate Jonathan Toews were set to be on the cover of NHL 16. Now, EA, if you guys recall, maybe you pay a little closer attention to American football. In an update completely removed Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice from Madden 2015 after videos surfaced of the player punching and kicking his fiancée, who is now his wife, in an elevator of an Atlantic City casino and hotel. So where does that put EA with Patrick Kane? What do you think they should do? Because they kind of got the cover boy, who has now been under at least suspicion of rape. They have to address this, right?
They have to get rid of him.
Can't be one rule for one and one for another.
Yeah. And, you know, they might take the attitude, less people care about ice hockey, but that's going to upset most of Canada. And, yeah, they have to show an even hand and get rid of him. I mean, I just looked him up, and he does look like the type.
And I wonder how much it would cost them to remove Patrick Kane from the cover. Whether they even have time, what the shipping time is, what the production rate is for the discs, whatever it is that they have produced, would they have to then basically discard all the discs? Because I don't know. In the past, they've actually put the players on the disc itself as well.
If he's on the disc, then it's a product recall. If he's just on the cover, they'll send everything out as normal and then follow up with a replacement cover for retailers to switch in and out. Yeah.
And what about for the future? Because you look at some of the things that have happened. They have players, no matter what the sports franchise is, no matter what the company is that has games that are based on real players, they always have an athlete featured on the cover. Should more go into the vetting process than just like a fan vote?
Well, see, they should have gone for like a respectable team on the front of NHL 16, like the Rangers or something.
Yeah.
They should just put retired soccer players that have never had trouble, and then they go all OJ.
Yeah. They should just go all in and just put Chris Benoit on the front of every sports game. No matter what sport. Yeah.
You got all your bases covered then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of puts me in an awkward position, like, in my opinion, because I don't like the Blackhawks, so then I'm like, well, do I have to then say, well, am I letting my bias creep into this? But I almost want them to just stop putting specific players on the thing. But at the same time, you have to realize that your sports figures, I guess, aren't really meant to be role models. We make them that. And so when they drop the ball, it should be expected. I mean, they have access, and that's the number one thing. Money brings access, and all sports figures kind of have money. I just find this to be kind of a fascinating story to see, because there is like a month left until they release the game. So they have time to make changes, and so far I haven't seen anything come from the EA Sports camp. I don't know if they're keeping mum unless I missed it, but if they're keeping mum until they know officially what's going on. But if they let it go, that's going to be a huge black mark. And they're going to go all WWE and just omit NHL 16's cover when they do, like, the collection of covers.
I just can't see them sticking with him on the cover. It'd be too big of a mistake to leave him on the cover, no matter what way the investigation goes. It's too big a risk on their reputation.
It really is. And it was kind of weird. I mean, it's not unprecedented that they had two players on the cover, because they did the same thing with Troy Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald with the Madden 2011 cover, I believe. This year, one of the things we didn't talk about, but also is an important news thing, is for the first time ever, EA Sports announced that FIFA 16 will actually have a female on the cover, along with Lionel Messi. Yep. They will have, I always want to say Hillary Knight, but she plays hockey. Alex Morgan, the other hot athlete player, chick player. So that's kind of a big deal. Was there a big deal made of that overseas? I mean, you guys are more of a soccer-hungry
yeah,
country.
Yeah, there was a lot on Twitter about who was going to appear on there. I mean, Messi's probably on there every other year. But yeah, Alex Morgan's a good shout.
Yeah.
I'd like to get Messi with Alex Morgan.
At the same, yeah, Lionel Messi had tax problems. So there's that. In Spain, mm-hmm. I believe. He was in trouble with the Spanish authorities, so it's not like troubles aren't new to this, you know, they're not new to this sport or controversy and things like that. But one thing I don't think we have to worry about is Alex Morgan ever being accused of raping a dude.
Nope.
just saying. Just saying.
I'm never going to say no to that.
In 10 years, it's going to have happened, and they're going to play this podcast on Fox Sports and laugh at us, Brian.
I volunteer. I'm just kidding. Either way, I think that's going to do it for the news for the week. Hey, unless you guys have anything else that you'd like to add.
Nope.
All right, excellent. And something we have been doing over the past week is any new games that we played. I do a little bit of a review on them. For me, it's just going to be Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, which, as I said earlier, it's kind of a cross between Lara Croft fun puzzling, and the three-quarter of the view gives it a kind of an X-Men Legends feel, which I really like so far. And I've not gotten that far into it, but I don't know. I'd give it probably an 8 out of 10 if I had to give it a little rating. How
yeah.
about you, Mark?
Yeah,
You've
no,
played
that
it.
That sounds reasonable. It's just getting used to the... It seems like going back quite a few years in the control method, but, you know, once you fall back into it, it's a good game. It is a good game. 8's a good score.
And do you have any thoughts on that game? Would you give it a rating or... Your thoughts,
I haven't played enough of it to know, but if it plays how you two have described it, then I'm going to love it.
Alright, and the other game I've been playing, an Xbox original, which is actually Robotech Battlecry. I picked up at a retro game store in this area for like $3. I was playing this. I missed it the first time around. But the game is incredibly fun. It kind of has the anime feel to it. You go from the flight mode to the, I believe they call it Sentry or Guardian mode.
Yeah.
And just kind of light up the entire city and fight the other battle mechs. Really kind of fun. And that game, I would actually probably have to rate about a 7. Because it's just not my type of game. I'm sure it's better than that because, you know, it's an Xbox, original Xbox game. So, but you guys, do you have any games that you'd like to review or anything like that?
I'm kind of jealous that you've got a Robotech game because I loved Robotech and I've got seasons 1 and 2 on DVD and I love them. I won't get rid of them either. But I've played a lot of Lego Jurassic World with a boy this week and it's your typical Lego game, lots of humour. He loves it that you can customize your own dinosaurs. The only thing I will pick up on it is for the first 3 movies, the sound quality is really poor for a Lego game. Really poor. But other than that, I mean, it's a classic Lego game. Just waiting for dimensions.
Nice. I miss when they did just the grunt, like guttural noises. For dialogue in the Lego games in the first ones. That was so fun. I love that.
Yeah.
How about you, Adam? Do you have anything that you'd like to review for this week's show?
Arkham Knight is amazing. All the heresy you were chucking at earlier is completely wrong. And it's easily a 9 out of 10. If you liked Batman and you liked Arkham Asylum and Arkham City... then you'll love Arkham Knight. Arkham Origins never happened.
That sounds
great. Nice. So you get all the best information right here in Toons Game Time. Now, games for the week. because we're going to have some upcoming releases. Actually, kind of a decent-sized list this week.
So excited.
A few different exclusives.
So excited. I'm going to play the shit out of Goat Simulator.
Why is there no link for Goat Simulator? Why?
Nice. Let's start with August 11th, because, well, that's the next day that there's going to be a game released. Because there was one release yesterday, and it was a PC game, and I don't play PC, so who cares? For the PlayStation Vita, Actual Sunlight is going to be released on Tuesday, August the 11th. If you're not familiar with this game, it's sort of a clunky platformer-type game that covers different emotions, I guess, including love and depression, which... if you're married, you know that that's kind of almost the same thing.
If you're not married, you know that as well.
But either way, that's coming out. It got some critical acclaim when it was first introduced. Some of the reviews that I read on it weren't all that flattering, because they say that it is kind of clunky and whatever, kind of minimalistic, I guess. But who knows? If you've got a Vita, maybe it's worth a look-see. Also, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, a PS4 exclusive. I've heard a lot of people say good things about that, and that's just a hilarious name for a game. Gauntlet Slayer Edition.
Oh, I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I so want this.
Honestly, who over the age of 20 doesn't love some Gauntlet?
Love Gauntlet. Hours and hours and hours of running through hundreds of dungeons. Woohoo!
Ridiculous amounts of dungeons. And still like, yeah, gotta eat food. Gotta get that treasure. Gotta find that key. Gauntlet's a blast. And it actually makes an appearance in a Toons article that I put out here, today, actually. The results of the A to Z test. But either way, the next one for the PS4 and the PS3 is Goat Simulator. So... yeah, Goat Simulator.
I'm not even joking how excited I'm buying it. I'm doing a Let's Play. It's going to be amazing.
My question is, are they going to keep all the fun glitches in it? Because when it first came out, you could do all kinds of weird glitchy things, and that was part of the appeal to it, because it made it hilarious.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they remove those glitches, they're going to do the game a major disservice.
Oh, yeah. They have to keep it, like, buggy as hell, because that was all part of the charm. Like, have you seen the IGN Game of the Year Goat Simulator video? It's amazing. Yeah. And, yeah, they've done this fake video that Goat Simulator won Game of the Year. And it's so funny. And I'm going to do the best Let's Play ever.
See, I used to make fun of people who played Goat Simulator. And now with that glowing review, I don't know if I should make fun of you or buy it.
Okay. The last it is not. If you want, like, a story mode and something you can sink your teeth into, if you want something to tide you over till Fallout 4 comes out, Goat Simulator is not it. However, if you want to play a goat and fuck stuff up, if you want to go all Patrick Kane on the suburbs as a goat, it's the game for you.
Nice. Nice. Maybe I will check it out at some point here. Just because people do talk about it and play it, say it's hilarious, and I like hilarious. Hilarious is fun. So who knows. But the other game, the last game coming out on the 11th, is Garfield Kart for the Nintendo 3DS. I don't know if that's Mario Kart, but with Garfield.
Why bother? Why bother?
And if they don't have an Abu Dhabi course, then it's just not legit. We'll say that.
Yeah.
Nirmal has to have a home course of Abu Dhabi. Or they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
What they've done here is they've gone, people like Garfield, people like Martin Games, Garfield Kart, people also like pizza and marshmallows. Like, come on, bro, come on, Nintendo. No, it's going to suck.
Probably, no doubt. I actually missed two games because I had to put one of them out of order. for some reason. Also on August 11th for the 3DS is Paddington, Adventures in London.
Boom.
Yeah, Paddington Bear.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do not talk crap about Paddington. He's a London icon.
My mum's still got my first Paddington toy, so there we go.
Damn right.
I want to know how much detail they put into the London scenery. Did they make it look a lot like London, like the Fallout series did with Washington and Vegas?
Oh, I really hope they do. I really hope I can like walk down Tottenham Court Road and be like, oh, I know this.
And they're like, this is London, and they have like the London Bridge, and they have Big Ben. And then, like, everything else looks like it's in Madrid.
Yeah, they miss out on all the kind of little intricacies, like the homeless people and just being in Rhino, and all those little things that make London. Is that Brian? Like, that's just a million laughs from Mark right there. Yeah, I'm in Rhino.
It's exactly what it's like.
The final boss is one of the guardians, like, the guards, and he's trying to get him to, like, react. So Paddington Bear is just bouncing in front, like showing his ass to the guard.
The final boss is that guy that organizes the underground strikes.
And then one of the greatest series, or most underrated series, I'll say, in all of video game history, Toy Soldiers, Toy Chest. I love Toy
Yep.
Soldiers. It's such a fun series. That's coming out for the Xbox One, PS4, and PC, also on August 11th. And then, on August 12th, for the PC, Hacknet, which is a hacking simulator, computer hacking simulator. So that could be interesting, I guess. I don't know if Anonymous is going to do a review.
Computer hacking simulator? Isn't that a bit weird?
Yeah.
That's like, oh, here's a terrorism simulator. Like, what?
And if Anonymous does a review, do they, like, hack to the end screen and be like, I beat it in 8 seconds, it was fucking awesome. 10 out of 10.
Hack simulator. Just learn to hack, and then you don't need a simulator. You can never become a real dope.
When you hack it and finish it, that's what you actually open is Goat Simulator.
Yeah.
It's a hack simulator in the Goat Simulator.
The goat learns to hack.
That'd be amazing. Then on August 13th, which is a Thursday, we're going to see for the Mac, PC, PS4, and Xbox One, Christopher Brookmeyer's Bedlam. Based on an allegedly popular book series. I read this story earlier. It made such an impression on me, I couldn't tell you what the hell the game is.
Can I say that if you have to put the words allegedly popular into the synopsis, it might not be terribly good.
It's a first-person shooter. That's the only thing I can remember. And they had, it looked like a Nerf shotgun.
Wow.
As the gun. I mean, it had, like, multiple colors. It kind of had the they were attempting to be realistic with their graphics, but then the gun looked a lot like something from Borderlands. I don't know. That's the only thing I can remember about you. I don't know what the story is about. I don't know.
Bedlam.
And I don't care. And finally being released on the Xbox One on August 14th, which is next Friday, is Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings. PS4 owners, Sony owners, you actually have access to Super Mega Baseball already. It's supposed to be a ton of fun because it's simplistic and arcadey and everything you might have liked about the original RBI Baseball in its simplicity. So if you have an Xbox One, you might want to check that out. So that's it for the upcoming releases for the week. Do you picture buying any of those outside of maybe Gauntlet and Goat Simulator?
Goat Simulator, baby. I just might get Goat Simulator and forget about Gauntlet.
Maybe Toy Soldiers, maybe. But definitely Gauntlet. Yeah, I'm going to have me some Gauntlet.
Yeah, Gauntlet, I'm kind of uber pumped about that, because it's Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Jesus. Retro gamers just score wood.
Everybody's gone to the Rapture, but I haven't clicked on the link, but it just makes me think that you have to go and join a cult and then just commit suicide. It's just not selling it to me at all. Just the name.
I'm trying to find, any kind of ratings for it. According to blog.us.playstation.com, it's already getting, a 4.2 out of 5 rating. I don't know if that's the actual rating that they gave it. But it's going to be $19.99 US for the Gauntlet. So that's pretty much the going rate for digital downloads, it seems, these days, with HD and kind of remake, I guess, games, remaster games.
We should do a tune stream of Gauntlet.
Yeah, we should. We totally should. Especially if it's the standard traditional style of play, which it kind of looks like it is. See, now I'm investigating it, and I was kind of like, yeah, it's Gauntlet, what else do I need to know? And now I'm like, well, shit, I need to know. But yeah, it's got the four players, it seems. Key point said, hero depth gameplay variation, overall visuals. As mentioned previously, we've been working to get a lot more variation in Gauntlet Slayer Edition. Enemies are a big part of that. In Slayer Edition, they've gone through the game and reevaluated every single enemy in the game, leading to changes in all but two. Some tweaks, movement speeds and hitboxes have changed, new ability sets, some enemies have been removed altogether, and some completely new ones have been added. They've given every enemy family, mummies, skeletons, etc., a new lower tier spawner that only spawns the basic units of that family, meaning they are no longer limited to all-or-nothing options. They've made all new bosses. Character diversity, they don't say specifically what. Either way, it looks like it's fun. It looks very much like an HD remaster of the classic.
Brilliant.
It looks almost like a two-thirds overhead view. So that's going to be just a blast. I'm convinced already. The other thing, breaking news, Anonymous has already hacked into Hacknet and the God, I hope so.
And also, every copy of Goat Simulator will come with a free goat.
You know that somebody's going to end up having a jihad against the Goat Simulator people, aren't they? Because they like to sacrifice their goats. If we're keeping them alive virtually, somebody's going to want to sacrifice one.
Yeah. And the thing is Goat Simulator made by the same company as Farm Simulator?
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah, because that would be, it seemed fitting, at least. And we've got to have, Piglet Simulator at some point.
Yeah.
Which I think there was a pig game, a pig simulator, that was in development.
I don't know, man.
Either way, that's going to do it for this week's show. So, before we head out the door, I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to plug whatever it is that you'd like to plug. I'll start out with Mark, because his will probably be shorter. That's what she said.
Thanks, Brian. I've been waiting for one of those. Follow me on Twitter at OnlyOneMart, if you like. Soccer and gaming. I seem to have picked up a shed load of gamers in the last 2 weeks. I don't know where they're coming from. They must be listening to Brian's show, but there we go. And check out toonshow.com and especially the A to Z. Good stuff.
Sweet. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. And how about you, Adam? Because you've got always got a full plate going.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson. For the next 2 weeks, you can check out my documentary, The Untrue Face of Disability Hate Crime, on BBC iPlayer. if you're not based in the UK, use a VPN or it's on YouTube, but shh, don't tell anyone. And you can also see me in the BAFTA, in the BAFTA-nominated film, Under the Skin. I'm also available for bar mitzvahs and weddings and funerals and stuff.
Nice. See, all that stuff, you're always so busy. It's incredible. Like, does BBC ever leave you alone?
Oh, well, they leave me alone. Channel 4 normally, on my case. And I'm also about to go into politics, which is just going to finish me, I think.
Nice. See, that's the thing, like, you're probably the only person we actually know and have talked to that is actually in IMDb. Yeah. I'm assuming you're in IMDb, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm 3 degrees of separation away from Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
I have a Bacon number 3.
That's awesome. See, I was actually in a video that featured Andrew WK.
Ah, nice.
So, yeah, I'll have to link that up. Constructs Nunchucks, who we've partnered with here at Toon Show. And we kind of have different projects going on. I was in a video for them to where I was in the same video that Andrew WK was in, because we were both auditioning for the part of a host of a show they have called Lobster Lobby, which is the only internet show dedicated to lobsters. And Andrew WK, after an email, agreed that before the Pittsburgh show that he did, would go to Ian Insect's house and film like an entire section of the video for them. So that was pretty awesome that he did that before his concert.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't know how many degrees of separation I am from Kevin Bacon, but that puts me probably as close as I'll ever get to being in the IMDb.
Yeah, well, if I'm 3, that makes you 4.
Who knows? But either way, if you'd like to check out anything, by all means, check out their Twitter accounts and just ask them if you didn't get any of that. I also try to get links up on toonshow.com to all that information because it's good stuff. As for Toons, the plugs that we have here, I am at ToonsBrian on Twitter, so be sure to follow me there. If you'd like to submit anything to the show, by all means, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag ToonsGT. That'll send everything directly to ToonsGameTime. And then hashtag AskToons is actually the one for Toons and Toonschucks. So I gave ToonsGameTime its own hashtag, ToonsGT. Easy to remember if you're into cars and stuff, or video games that involve cars. However, toonshow.com is everything you need to know. You will be able to find links to the Trending Topics Network and TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, as well as that whole host of shows that we have over there. Toon Show on Skype. Leave me a message that way. You can actually hook up and leave like a 3-minute audio message, which we can play online here. ToonShow@gmail.com. I think Toon Show is pretty much all you need to know. I don't really need to repeat that anymore. Including iTunes. If you didn't miss Monday's show for whatever reason, I hate you. And I forgive you at the same time. So I like you again. But if you weren't aware, not only can you find Toons shows on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com and the Trending Topics Network iTunes feed, but you can also go and find the own dedicated iTunes feed, rather, on iTunes just by searching for Toons Show, all one word. So by all means, go ahead and do that. And if you're not into listening to all those other shows, which you actually should be, but if you're not, you're a jerk, you can listen to only Toon Shows, that is Toons, Toons Chucks, and Toons Game Time. But I thank you very much for listening to this week's show, and we look forward to talking to you next week, right here on ToonShow.com and the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.